We talked about the worth of salt, the work of salt, and the warning for the salt. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing. So we looked at the salt. Now we're going to look at verse 14. We're going to see that we are to shine. All right, if you have that outline from 2 weeks ago, use it. If not, they handed out another copy of it this morning. But in verse number 14, the Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." These verses are very familiar verses. Verse 16 is a good verse to memorize, to challenge ourselves from day to day. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We'll talk about that when we get down to the bottom of our lesson this morning. But in verse 14 to 16, letter B in our outline, we are to shine. We talked about the fact that salt, though it is a common commodity, salt is valuable. The same thing is true of light. Light is a very valuable thing. It was the first thing that God created back in Genesis chapter 1. Let there be light. Before there was a sun, that throws a lot of people for a loop. Before God created the sun, He created light. You know what that means? He doesn't need the sun to have light. In Him is light. If He's there, they don't need, you know, in the end days, the sun is going to turn to blood and it's going to melt. And yet He will be the sun. And so He doesn't need the sun to give light. So when creation happened, before He made the sun, He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Then He made the stars and the things of the constellations. But light came before that. Light was necessary. Light is valuable. Without light, it's just gloom. Without light, it's darkness. They tell us that up in Alaska, where there's 24 hours of darkness, and that they can go months without seeing the light, that the suicide rate is very hard there because the darkness makes things depressing. You and I don't mind winter. You know me and where I'm from. I like snow. I like ice. I think it's a blast. But the one thing I don't like about winter is when it gets dark at 4:30 in the afternoon. That's just no fun at all. There's nothing good about that. It's dark when you get up, it's dark when you go to work in the morning, and it's dark when you go home in the afternoon, and that pretty well shoots the day right there. We like the light. We prefer the light. And God says about that light, He said, "Ye are the light of the world." So we are to shine. Notice number one, the proclamation for shining. The proclamation for shining. In verse number 14, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine." All right, the proclamation for shining. "Ye are the light of the world, yet let your light so shine." Shine. You know what the problem is within Christianity? There's a lot of dim lights. Now, I didn't say dim wits. I won't say that, but there is a lot of dim lights. There's a lot of people, you know, you go in our neighborhoods and you go around our towns and you knock on somebody's door and you invite them to come to church and you find out that they claim to be a Christian. They say they were saved at such and such an age or such and such a time, but they haven't been in church in years and years and years. Well, you can't shine that way. We'll see here in a few minutes, we don't shine so much in here because we're all lights. But this is where we get our batteries recharged. This is where we get energized so we can go out there and shine. And so we need to shine, not dimly, but brightly. We need to shine. Notice letter A under the proclamation for shining. We need to shine because of the description of society. All right, this fact that ye are the light of the world, let your light so shine, gives us the description of society. You say, why is that? Well, the fact that light is needed tells us we live in a dark world. That's why we need to shine. The Bible continuously portrays or pictures this world as being in darkness. That's spiritual darkness, and without a doubt the world is in spiritual darkness. So much confusion, so much false teaching and error, and the world is looking for that truth. And because of that, we are to be a light. There's a spiritual darkness, but not only that, there's a moral darkness. You know, folks, today, 100 years ago in America, there's things going on today that people, everybody in society would have said, that's wrong. But we live in such darkness that darkness has pervaded and gotten darker, where even people in our society today agree with things or condone things or tolerate things that 100 years ago society would not have. And that's not, you know, well, the world will say, that's because we're being enlightened. No, it's because the darkness is increasing. And so we need to be a light in the world because our society is spiritually and morally and culturally in darkness. Our inner cities are in trouble and suffering. Even here in our area with the drug culture that's so prevalent and prominent, I wish I had the freedom sometimes to share some things that we learn from the fostering end of what we do and the phone calls that we get. We've got a 4-year-old right now, as you know, and we got a phone call the other day wanting us to take 2 brothers, 8 and 11 years old, in addition to the 4-year-old. And we just said, we'll pass. Sorry, that's a little bit too much for us right now. But they told us the story, and it's a drug-related story. And the majority of these situations going on in our area and in our place are drug. Why? Because our culture is in darkness. And it's not going to get any better. I encourage you to be back Sunday evening tonight. We're going to be in 2 Timothy 3 in the last days, in the last days, in the last days. And we're going to talk about the movement of these things. The world's always been in darkness, but it just seems like it's darker now than it's ever been. And of course, it's always darkest before the dawn. And the end of the Old Testament, Malachi, I just finished my Bible through yesterday, the end of the Old Testament, Malachi talks about at the end the Son of Righteousness, S-O-N, of righteousness showing up. And that's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it gets dark, but our society is in darkness spiritually, morally, culturally. The Bible talks about when we get saved, we pass from darkness to light. So now that we've come out of that and we're in the light, we should let our light so shine before men. The world thinks it's enlightened. They think that Christians are behind the times. Our belief system is old-fashioned and outdated and antiquated. With all the technology the world is getting in, you know what the technology is doing? It's just increasing the darkness. And we live in an ever-darkening world. But the darker it is, the brighter the light shines. And so the Lord says to you and I as believers in this dark world, He understands our setting. He knows where we're at. And He says, let your light so shine. Ye are the light of the world. A description of society is given by this, but then small letter B, we also get a description of the saint. A description of the saint. Notice it says in that verse, ye are the light of the world. Understanding in our King James Bible, we have something that other Bible readers don't have. We know that the word ye is plural. He didn't say you are the light of the world individually, one at a time. He said ye collectively. Collectively, we are the light of the world. If you came into this auditorium this morning and only one of these many lights was on, it wouldn't give a whole lot of light. Even when someone practices the piano or something, we've got to turn on a body of lights to get enough light. One light just isn't enough. We need the collection. We need the group effort of the lights. And that's what Jesus said to His disciples. He said to them as a collection, to them as a body, He said, ye are the light of the world. That word ye is you in the plural. And so, yes, every one of us is a light, but collectively we give off much more light. And that's what the church is today. The church is to be the light of the world. We're to be a lighthouse, we say it often, a lighthouse in our community. And collectively, you take one light and put a whole bunch of them together and it just naturally gets brighter. And that's what we are called upon to do. Ye are the light of the world. Again, the world that's ever in darkness doesn't understand light. You know who they think the light of the world is? They think that the Hollywood actors are the light of the world. With their politics and their belief system and what they promote and what they... And the world just follows after them and idolizes them and adores them. I thought it was ironic in the last couple of weeks, and you probably followed the news and saw, and I don't know if I got his Henry Weinstein, I don't know if I got his name right, a Hollywood producer that now has been excommunicated basically because of his gross immorality, and all of these actresses that are coming out years later and saying, yes, he did something to me and all that. And that there's he is being prosecuted and persecuted, and rightfully so, and cast out. But it was just a week ago that that same group was celebrating the birthday of Hugh Hefner. Now you talk about a confused bunch of people. The guy that really started that kind of movement and that kind of thought was being celebrated, and yet here the guy that put it into practice is being ostracized. You know why? Because Hollywood is not our light. Some people think that the sports figures are the light of the world. Well, they've sure caused a controversy in the last couple of months, haven't they? They're not causing any light. They're just dividing the darkness. They're just making it an ever darkened world. And our news media jumps on board and promotes the darkness. And sad to say, many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ get caught up in Hollywood, get caught up in the sports mentality, get caught up in the politicians and all these things that cannot promote light. Because light comes from ye. It comes from the church. It comes from the body of believers. We are to be the light of the world. It is our responsibility to make our light shine. When they speak, it's just increased darkness. When they speak, there's no light in them. But when you and I are fulfilling the command of the Lord to be the light of the world and let our light shine, we're fulfilling the proclamation that the Lord gives us for shining. Then look, if you would, at number two, the pattern. The pattern for shining, beginning at the last half of verse 14. He says at the end of verse 14, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. One of my favorite spots as far as a serene, beautiful setting is on 77 North, going up there, and I couldn't tell you exactly where it is, but it's on the left-hand side as you're going north. On the left-hand side, you come over this hill and down into this valley, and over here on the valley on the left side, I'm sure that if somebody took a picture and made a puzzle out of that, it would sell. Because it's a barn down there and a silo and just a beautiful green hill. It's a farm down there. But it's hard to see because you've got to come down into that valley and look over there and know that it's there and look on purpose, or you just drive by the road and don't even see it. But you take that and put it on top of a hill, and I guarantee you everybody driving by would notice it. And that's what the Bible is telling us in verse number 14, that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Something that's down in the valley or down in the holler, something that's down in that low spot might not get noticed, but you put it up on top of a hill and it's going to be seen. And that's what the Lord is telling us about. We're not to be down in a valley. We're to be very conspicuous. We're to be like that city that's on top of a hill. Folks are to notice that we are the light of the world. Now that city that's on a hill will be seen in the daytime because the lights around it. But that city's also going to be seen in the nighttime. Because when it gets dark out and everybody starts turning on their lights in their homes and their businesses, whatever it is, you're going to see that from a long, long ways away. If you've ever been in a place where there's a long stretch of road and there's absolutely nothing for miles and miles and miles, and it's in the dusk or in the evening, and you're driving, and all of a sudden you see a little town up ahead. The first reason you know there's a town up there is because you see the lights. And that's what the Lord is telling us in verse 14. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We need to be lights that are seen. So he talks first of all, small letter A, a city on the hill. A city on the hill. That's what we're to be. Not hiding our light. Not dimming our light. But letting our light be seen. Then small letter B in verse 15. Neither do men light a candle. He talks about lighting a candle at the end of verse 15. It giveth light unto all that are in the house. So not only is there a pattern of a city on a hill, but there's a candle in the house. A candle in the house. Now, you understand we're talking about pre-electricity days. You couldn't go in and just flip the light switch and then hit the little button dimmer up and down. You either had darkness or you had light. They lit a candle. They went into the house, they lit a candle, and wherever the candle went, it brought light to the house. And the more candles that were lit, the more of the house that was illuminated. Again, that takes us back to verse number 14. Ye, collectively, ye are the light of the world. That's why we need one another. We need the fellowship. Because it's not you are the light of the world, ye are the light of the world. That's what the Lord told His disciples. Together, you're the light of the world. So a candle in the house. If you're in complete darkness, imagine, and it's easy for us to picture, if you're in complete darkness, the lights are out, maybe you remember the days when the electricity goes out. That happens too often. And the electricity goes out and nighttime comes and you're scrambling looking for the flashlights or looking for the candles. And the minute you light that one candle, all of a sudden the darkness in that area begins to flee. And then you need one in the bathroom because you've got to have light in the bathroom as well as in the living room where you're sitting. And then maybe if you're going to go in the bedroom, you need light in there to find things. So you light a candle in each one of these rooms and every place you light that light, the darkness goes away. The Bible says we need to be like that, that we light a candle in the house. And the closer you get to the candle, the brighter the light shines. And so we light multiple candles in the house so that the light gets around everywhere we need to be. The pattern for shining, a city on a hill, a candle on a house. Then on the backside of our page, number 3, we talk about the proclamation for shining and the pattern for shining. We get into again verse 15 and we see the prevention. The prevention of shining. He says in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. The prevention of shining. There can be reasons why our light doesn't shine. If our light is in the house, it shines. But if it's put under a bushel, you think of a bushel basket, you put all the apples inside that bushel basket, well, if you put a candle in a house and a bushel over the top of it, you've just basically extinguished the light that was there. Why would anybody do that? If you need the light, you need it to shine. If you want the light, you want it to shine. You wouldn't put it under a bushel or anything else. So we see small letter A as we look at the prevention of shining, the, here's a big word, ridiculousness. The ridiculousness of this, of putting a bushel over the candle. That doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? Why would you hide the light? And yet, the truth of the matter is, that many that claim the name of Christ don't want their light to shine. They want it to be under a bushel. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would they do that? Why would a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ say, well, I've been saved out of darkness and I'm now in the light, but I don't want that light to shine too bright. I don't want people to notice it. I don't want to wear my Christianity on my shirt sleeve. That's the way they used to say it. I don't want to put it out there for everybody to see. Why would they do that? Well, that brings us to small letter B, the reasons for this. The ridiculousness of it, it doesn't make any sense. If you're going to light a light, you don't put it under a bushel. And yet some people do, or the Lord wouldn't have had to say that. He wouldn't have had to told us that if it wasn't something that was done. And so he gives us the reasons also. Why would we put that light under a bushel? Why would we want to conceal the fact that we're Christians? Well, number one, under the reasons, is popularity. Popularity. Some people conceal their Christianity simply because they want to be popular in this world. And it's going to be hard to be popular in this world if you're bold in your faith. If you let your light shine. Now, we are thankful for those in some different places that swim upstream, go against the tide, and are bold in their declaration of faith. But many, many, many show the ridiculousness of it by taking their light and putting it under a bushel. Just trying to fit in. Go where the other people go. Do what the other people do. Speak like the other people speak. Laugh at what the other people laugh at. There are many that try to put that light under a bushel because they don't want it to be seen. They don't want to be known. They want to be popular among they don't want to be mocked. They don't want to be teased. They don't want to be talked about behind their back. And that is going to happen if your light is shining. Because the darkness doesn't comprehend the light. The darkness doesn't appreciate the light. I mean, if we could put personality to light and personality to darkness, when a room is in darkness, it likes to be in darkness. And when the light shows up, the darkness has to flee. So there's a conflict between darkness and light. And so if you and I are going to let our light so shine, we understand there's going to be conflict that comes with that. And so many Christians don't let their light shine because they don't want that conflict. After I became a Christian and began to let my light shine, I found out that a lot of people I knew were already Christians and I didn't know about it. People that I went to school with, classes with, were friends with, were in band with, went on trips and traveled with, on field trips and stuff, and yet later found out. And after I found out, I looked back, and I remember that they weren't exactly like the rest of us. They weren't in everything we went to. And yet at the same time, I didn't know the reason why, and I didn't even notice at that time that they were different. You've got to let your light shine. People aren't just going to, just because you don't cuss, people aren't going to say, oh, you must be a Christian. Just because you don't do this or that, they're not going to assume. They might think you're a Mormon. You say, well, I don't drink caffeine. You know how the Mormons are. I don't drink caffeine. Oh, well, they might just think that's some kind of dietary restriction. I'm not preaching against caffeine. No problem there. But we've got to let our light shine. So there's popularity is a reason why many don't let their light shine. Number two, position. Position. We can suppose, we don't know for sure, but the reason that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night is because he was a leader of the Pharisees. And his position made him careful in being seen going and talking to Jesus. His heart was after him, we can tell by the conversation. Conviction had begun to set in, but he was worried about what people would say if they saw him. And so we see Nicodemus in the Scriptures being called a secret disciple. A believer in Jesus Christ, yet for fear of the Jews, holding back. And so some people don't let their light shine because of position. Could you imagine a conservative applying for a job at CNN? Or ESPN. They wouldn't even try doing that because they know those doors are probably closed to them. Well, many Christians feel that many opportunities are closed to them as a believer, as a Christian, as a dedicated lover and servant of God, and so they keep that fact secret. They hide it in their back pocket. They don't let their light shine. because of their desire for position. And then there are some that are in those positions and they don't let their light shine for fear that they'll lose that position. And so they drink with the other guys. I remember when I was working in the secular workforce and going out to different training meetings and these different places, there were other fellows that I knew that were there that were Christians, that were Sunday school teachers in their churches. And yet when we went to certain groups or went to certain things, they were sitting around among the wrong people doing the wrong things and enjoying the wrong things. He said, what's right? Their light's not shining. They're dimming their light so they can fit in among other people. Why would people put a bushel over their light? Well, for popularity, for position, number three, for persecution. For persecution. We already said this, that when light shows up in darkness, there's a conflict. And so many times in the world that we live in, if we're going to speak up for the Lord, we'll be in the minority. We'll be one voice crying in the wilderness. And so we keep our mouths shut, or we don't say anything, or we don't proclaim our faith, or we don't let our light shine for fear of persecution. Now, persecution is a very real thing. But I've noticed down through the ages, if you study those that have really been persecuted, I'm not talking about, well, in America, it's happened. I mean, in the early days of our country, folks were persecuted for their faith, especially Baptists. And we'll begin studying that on Wednesday night. We're going to begin studying Baptist church history this Wednesday. And we'll see how some of our Baptist forefathers were whipped and chastised and beaten for being Baptist and not being congregational and not giving their money to the congregational church and meeting outside of the organized religion in America. Not in England, in America. And some have been persecuted. But you know what you notice? Those that are being persecuted, instead of it dimming their light, it usually brightens their light. But some folks, for fear of persecution, will let that light hide under a bushel. Whatever the reason, whether it be popularity or position or persecution, the Lord denounces secret discipleship. The Lord doesn't like Christians that blend in and hide in. We are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. That's what the Lord's command is. So, number four then, brings us down to verse 16. The place of shining. The place of shining. We've already talked about this a little bit. That because the world is in darkness, God commands us to shine. But He says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men. We are to be a light in the world that we live in. Why is that? Well, small letter A, because the world is a dark place. The world is a dark place. And again, we're reiterating some things we've already talked about. Our light doesn't shine that bright when we're in church on Sunday morning, because there's a lot of other lights around. Now again, that doesn't diminish the importance of being here. We get here together to get our batteries charged. None of us are Energizer bunnies that keep going and going and going. We all need our batteries recharged, and that's what church is about. And how much more evident is this that when you see someone that gets out of church, their batteries die. Their excitement for the Lord, their light in the world begins to dim when they get out of the fellowship of God's people. And so we are to gather together into the church to get our batteries charged, but then we're to go out there and let our light shine before men. Out there in the world, our conversation should be different than the conversation of the world. The language we use, how disappointing is it on social media, that those that claim the name of Christ, it's disappointing, it's disheartening. Those that name the name of Christ using foul language. I think of one that I know that you don't know, but I think of one that I know that will post one thing and say, what a great message Sunday morning in church. And then later in the week, he's damning this or damning that or putting this to hell or that to, you know, just language that's not consistent with somebody that says they're going to church. We've got to let our light shine before men. Letting it shine in church is great, but we've got to take it out the door with us. Let your light shine before men. We've got to let it shine in a dark place. Our convictions of what's right and wrong need to be communicated, not just in church, but out there in the world. We're not going to change the world's views by being silent. People have talked about the silent majority. Well, it's not a majority if it's silent. Because those that yell the loudest get the most attention. Now, I'm not recommending going out there and yelling, but I'm simply saying we need to let our light shine in a dark place by our conduct. Where the light needs to shine, it needs to shine out there in the world. So the place of shining is a dark place, and small letter B, the place of shining is a dangerous place. That's why a lot of people put their light under the bushel, because it's a dangerous place out there. John chapter 3, you might write the reference down, John chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus said this, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light." The light exposes darkness. The light contradicts darkness. The light conflicts with darkness. And so those that are in the darkness don't appreciate the light. It makes it a dangerous place. Many folks prefer the darkness. They like the darkness. I know you don't, but if you go into a bar, if you go into a nightclub, the predominant thing there is the darkness. They're not well lit. They're not brightly lit. They're dark. They're dim. That's just a reflection of the attitude of the world and what sin is all about. And if the light comes on, they're blinded by it and they don't want it. So the world is a dangerous place to let our light shine, but that's why we're supposed to let it shine. One other verse about this is Proverbs 29 and verse 27. Proverbs 29, 27 says, "He that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked." We need to let our light shine before men. Then finally, number 5. The end of verse 16. "That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This is the purpose of shining. Number 5, the purpose of shining. It's twofold. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the purpose of letting our light shine. Small letter A, the first half of that they may see your good works, is to enlighten. To enlighten. E-N-L-I-G-H-T-E-N. Enlighten. That they may see your good works. Can I emphasize this? It doesn't say that they may see you. All right? Sometimes we contend for the faith over us. It's about us. We're bold. We're taking a stand. We want people to see us. But that's not where we're putting the attention. That they may see your good works. We can do our good works without fanfare. We can do our good works without applause. We can do our good works just so they'll be seen, not so we'll be seen, but so they'll be seen, and then glorify our Father which is in heaven. Lights are to enlighten. Not to show that we are better, but that we have something better. We're not trying to, by the way we live and the way we conduct ourselves and our conversation and our dress and our habits and all that, we're not trying to show the world we're better, but that we found something better. We found something better than the darkness that's in the world. We found the light. So the purpose of shining, that they may see your good works, is to enlighten, then letter B, then glorify your Father which is in heaven, to exalt. To exalt. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." that they may see your good works and glorify, not you, but and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Everything we're doing is to bring more glory to God. The primary purpose of all of our conduct is to glorify God. We are to let our light shine. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for this lesson from the Word of God.